Good morning. It's certainly good to be here this morning. I want to first thank the elders for allowing me to get up here and speak. I may be way too loud. I also want to welcome the visitors. As you may have heard in the announcements, I am not the regular preacher here, Bob Waldron. He is away on a meeting. Seems like every time I speak, he's not here. So maybe something with that. But I do want to bring a lesson today from the Word of God. And I want everyone here to know that if they do find something that I say that is an error, that to come to me and let me know that, and I will correct that. Also, if you are visiting here and you do not understand some of the things that we do, please feel free to talk to any of the men here, and we would be more than happy to study with you about that, talk to you about why we do what we do here. As I was thinking of what to speak on, I kept coming back to one subject, and that subject is that of forgiving. And there are two separate aspects that I want to consider today. The first one is obviously forgiving others. We have a duty to do that. But a harder one, and one that I think I have difficulty with both of these, thus I'm bringing this lesson, but I think that is harder for many of us, and we don't realize it, is that we have to forgive ourselves also. So I'd like to begin this morning with the definition of the base word forgive. This is a Webster's Dictionary defines this as to give up resentment of or claim to compensation or retaliation. Also to grant relief from payment of, to forgive a debt. And then to cease to feel resentment against. And I think that last one is definitely what we're talking about here. We, of course, have the ultimate example of forgiveness, and that is the forgiveness that is granted to us by God. We can see this in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 32, which states, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." So we see here that through His Son, that He forgives us. So I'd like to first look at forgiving others, and we may ask the question, why? Why are we to forgive others? And we see that we're to do that because it's commanded of us. It's commanded of us in Ephesians 4:32, which I just spoke of, that says that we're to forgive one another with a tender heart. It's also stated in Colossians 3:13, as Paul writes, "Bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do." There are many other verses in the Bible that talk about how we are to do this, but we're to know that this is a commandment. But now we may come to the point and ask how. How can we actually do this? When we studied this morning in class, in Romans the 12th chapter, we see that in this world, we have a tendency to not forgive others. Our human nature is one that says that we should seek revenge, that we should have the attitude of the eye for an eye. So we have to make sure that we do not seek revenge. In Romans chapter 12, as we studied this morning in the auditorium class, in verse 19, it says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay.'" Also, same thing is stated in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And this is, these These statements are tied all the way back to and referring back to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. But vengeance is the Lord's, so we cannot seek out our own revenge. Our nature as a Christian should be one that imitates God. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, we have an entire chapter that talks about how we should imitate God. And there are other verses that talk about us imitating Christ. But we have to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. The disciples have this exact question to Jesus, actually Peter. If we remember that Peter asked a question to Jesus about the number of times that he should forgive. He was talking about forgiving others. Peter's question is found in Matthew chapter 18, and we'll spend a few minutes there if you want to turn to Matthew the 18th chapter. In Matthew 18:21, we see that Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?" Jesus' response in verse 22 says, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. I think that many of us know that Jesus wasn't saying that we should do the multiplication and say that that's 490 and that's when we stop. And I think he illustrates that in the parable that he preaches right after this statement. It's often called the parable of the unmerciful servant, and I just want to summarize that. I don't have time to read all of that this morning. But if we have a servant here and he owes a king 10,000 talents. And he begs for mercy and says he will pay it back. And the king forgives him of his debt totally. He's going to throw him into prison, sell his family, throw them into prison. But he forgives him totally of his debt. This same man, this servant, goes out and he finds a fellow servant that owes him 100 denarii. A little over 3 months' wages. And he grabs him and he wants him to pay him back. And the man said he would pay him back. But he refused to accept that answer. He refused to show mercy. And he puts him into prison. The king hears of this and we read his response further down in chapter 18 as we begin in verse 32. "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." So this servant who was forgiven a tremendous debt, 10,000 talents, one commentator says that 10,000 talents is actually more than the Roman government collected in taxes in a single year. There's a debt that he could not pay. And we as Christians also have a debt that we cannot pay. We see in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." We have to forgive others as we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven an unpayable debt. But we cannot act like this servant and hold someone else liable for something that is, in comparison, very small to the debt that we ourselves have been forgiven. In Romans 3, verse 23, we see that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have to have this debt, this forgiveness from this debt. And also in James chapter 2 and verse 13, talking about our mercy, that for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. We have to show mercy to others so that we ourselves can have mercy. Not only do we see biblical examples of forgiving others, we also see that sometimes it's necessary to forgive ourselves. I want to spend a little bit more of the time this morning that I have looking at forgiving ourselves. And for that, let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. I have two examples. This is the first one. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Here we have Judas, who gives in to sin, who gives in to his own greed, to turn over the Savior to the chief priest. Let's also look, if you can hold your finger there, in Matthew 26 chapter, in Luke chapter 22. We have another, our second example. It's up on the overhead, but it is fairly small, so... In Luke 22, beginning in verse 54, "Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.'" We have two disciples here, two disciples of Christ that spent there about the last 3 years with Jesus, listening to what he had to say, following him, trying to learn from him. And both of these men allowed sin to enter into their lives. Peter, even having been warned that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. But let's look at their reactions to their sin. Judas, if we turn back to Matthew, the 26th chapter, it's actually in Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5. Matthew 27, 3 through 5. It reads, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself." We see Judas is is sorry for what he had done. And we see that he even goes and tries to return the money to them. But then he hangs himself. So that's not the example that we want to have. It's not an example of forgiving ourselves. Let's look at the example of Peter back in Luke. The very next verse, Luke 22:62, the reaction that Peter had to Jesus looking at him was he went out and he wept bitterly. But then we also see in John chapter 20, flip over to John 20, we see some other things that happened. They both were remorseful. They were both sorry, Peter and Judas. But what does Peter do after he is sorry? We can't know for sure, but we can see where Peter shows up again. In John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" So here on the first day of the week when Jesus rose, we don't know exactly what happened during the crucifixion and where Peter was. We don't have record of what happened the next day from anyone. But on the first day of the week, we see that Peter is there with John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he runs to the tomb. And in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" We continue to read on down. We see that the only disciple that was not there of the 12 was Thomas. So we see that Peter also was there at the gathering on that evening in the appearing of Jesus. And by the time we get to Acts, the second chapter, we see Peter. This is the same man who denied Christ 3 times. We see him standing and boldly preaching Christ in front of many on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judah, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" So we see that Peter was sorrowful as well, but then he got back. He went with John, was with John and went to the tomb, was with the gathering of the apostles that evening, and eventually was there preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost. What can we learn from these examples? How can we be like Peter? How do we forgive ourselves? And how do we move on? There's just a few points I'd like for us all to think about. And that is, what's the first thing that has to happen? That we have to repent. And we have to be specific. We have to go to our Father in prayer. And we have to ask for forgiveness. This applies to forgiving others as well. We have to repent to them. And we have to go to them and we have to ask for forgiveness. But we have to be specific. And that will help us to be able to move on. And I believe that Peter did that. Because we see how he moved on with his life. Secondly, I think that we have to understand the promises that God has given to us. Because He promises that He'll forgive us from our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we can confess our sins and we can be forgiven. We also see in Ephesians, the first chapter in verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." In Hebrews, two different locations in Hebrews, in 8, verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." And then he adds, in Hebrews 10 and 17, and then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." We have plenty of occasion to see that God will forgive us. But we have to understand that. We have to know that. And we have to see that His promises are there. Which really leads us to our next point. And that is, once we understand that God will forgive us, we have to come to an acceptance of that. We have to believe that He will. We have to truly believe that He will. Then we must go on to actually accept His forgiveness. There are a couple of good examples that I could think of in the Bible of that. The first example is that of David. In the story of Bathsheba and Uriah, her husband, when David sinned, we see that he was repentant. And he actually wrote a psalm about that in Psalm 51, how he was repentant of that. And he continued on to be the leader of God's people. And he did that in such a way as to glorify God the remainder of his life. But we can also see in Paul that same spirit of accepting God's forgiveness. He opposed God so vehemently that he was throwing those who followed the way into prison. He's also there standing at the feet, and people are laying their cloaks at His feet when Stephen is being stoned. He's agreeing to the things that are happening to the Christians. And yet, he then has a conversion. And he repents. And he serves God with confidence for the remainder of his life. If we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we can see how he expresses his confidence of his status with God. It says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." He's confident that he has a crown of righteousness laid up for him. He was able to accept the forgiveness. We see that he admits freely that he had sinned. He admits that he had done wrong. But he did it in a manner that was not against his conscience, And when he changed, he realized that God would forgive him, and he accepted that forgiveness. And finally, the thing that we see with Peter that we don't see with Judas is we see that Peter went back and he got back involved. He was around the other disciples, and Judas went out by himself and he hung himself. So, I think it's important that we realize that when we sin, and we all do, that if it's of a personal nature, that we have to stop, that we have to ask for our repentance, but then we cannot separate ourselves from the people of God. That we have to continue to be involved, and we have to understand that our past sins don't mean that God cannot use us in the future. There are those who have sins in the past and they dwell on them, but yet they seem to never be productive again because they cannot get over the fact that they have done wrong. We have to see that we have done wrong, and we have to move forward and see that our past sins don't mean that we cannot be of any useful service to God. Psalms 32. I'd like to conclude by reading Psalms 32. Psalms 32 is a psalm of David. It talks about the joy that we have in forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy in all your upright in heart. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves, but we should be glad and rejoice, as we've read in the 32nd Psalm. It is joyful that we have the opportunity to have the forgiveness that we do. We should not forget that. It should drive us to forgive others, but we should also remember that we have to forgive ourselves. Have you struggled with forgiving yourself and moving forward and doing the work of the Lord? Have you struggled with forgiving another and perhaps become a stumbling block to them? If there's anyone here today that realizes that they're in sin, that they're ready to act by confessing that sin and drawing closer to God by being baptized, Or if there are anyone here at this time that need the prayer of the church here, that need the help and the assistance that this family can provide,